my God, why have you forsaken me and are so far from my cry and from the words of my distress? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer. By night as well, but I find no rest. These words, these hurting and longing words, open our psalm, Psalm 22. Full of pain and emptiness, these words and others throughout this psalm capture that deeply human experience of feeling destitute and abandoned that comes about in so many of life's moments. Even more, they are a raw reflection on that feeling some of us know all too well. That feeling when God is seemingly silent, when God is seemingly absent, when everything seems to be going wrong. These words are full of reject. They are full of loneliness. They are rich with pain. The psalmist is wrapped up in one of those moments in life you and I might know all too well, when God seems all but close. Those moments when our world has gone dark and God's light no longer seems to brighten our way. The thing is, it isn't as if God doesn't exist. The psalmist doesn't say that. There is actually, in these words, a recognition that God exists, but God is not present. A recognition that God has been present before, and a yearning for that once again. In seeking God's presence in this moment, the psalmist reveals that they know God exists. It is unclear who wrote this psalm, or perhaps what they were enduring, though some have educated guesses. But it is clearly a moment in this person's life in which they need God's comfort, God's strength, and God's peace. And God is seemingly silent. God is seemingly absent. And this is where we find ourselves today, on this Good Friday. This is the day when we are forced to face the reality of Christ's absence, if only for a little while. It is the day when we are invited to gaze upon both the instrument of Christ's death and to contemplate and in some ways experience that death once again. This is the day when the world changed forever so long ago as Christ went to the cross and died. Good Friday is a hard day. It is one that I sometimes would rather not deal with, to be honest. I'd rather it was already Easter. I'm sort of not sure how to feel. Am I supposed to be angry or sad? Prayerful or contemplative, lost? It seems so full of all of that. I think for some of it is hard because in Christ's death, we begin to remember and to relive all of those deaths that we have grieved through in our own lives. In Christ's willingness to go to the cross, we see the brokenness of the world revealed in so many places you and I are all too familiar with, places like Belgium and other places of violence throughout this world. We begin to recall the moments in our lives when we have endured times like the psalmist describes, seeking God's presence. We know the feeling of God's silence, sometimes too well. But today, the worship and the prayers offered are deeply important and foundational to our lives, especially our lives as faithful people. In many ways, the liturgies offered over the course of these 3 days, the prayers that we will offer, the words spoken, the reflections shared, are really all one service, one liturgy. Last night we gathered to hear the mandatum, Latin for a command that Jesus gives when he says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you should love one another." We, following his example, demonstrated such love by washing feet. We recounted the installation of the Eucharist at the Last Supper, and we stripped the altar. In all of these things, we remembered and enacted those last moments of Christ's life on earth with his closest friends, his disciples. Tomorrow evening at the vigil, we will begin the Easter celebration, the day in which all Christians find our deepest hope, our deepest joy. It is the day when life prevails over death, when darkness is stamped down and pushed back by light. So if these are the beginning and the end points of these 3 days, today we find ourselves in the middle. Today is the space between those last moments of Christ's life on earth and the joy of his resurrection and new life. It is a day when we mark the death of Christ. It is a day poignant with emotion, thick with feeling. Good Friday, situated as it is before the Easter feast, offers us a chance to not hurry to get there. It is a day to remain, to pause, to stay. It is a time when we remember the times when God has stayed silent. Yes, we do not rush to Easter, but remain and stay in this vulnerable and open space, trusting that that is still yet coming. Even as Psalm 22 continues past our selection for today, the psalmist, who was all but destitute, casts all their hope in God once again. The fear of being alone for them is transformed into fear of and relationship with God, because God has not been silent after all. And yet for this moment and for this day, we stand still. Even more so, even more than pausing and remaining and not skipping ahead, we are invited to confront more fully the reality of the cross. We are invited to remember that Christ, God's own Son, is crucified on the cross this day. And in this moment, other gospel writers tell us that he cries out in the words of our psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? So it may seem that God has abandoned Jesus or somehow left him to suffer. But it is instead the case that God knew this must happen. This is the reason that Christ was sent to the world to save it, to show that loving and saving power on this hard wood. This can be a disturbing image for us. We aren't quite sure what to make of all of that, and yet, in facing this image, we face the eternal truth that Christ went to that cross to save us. The instrument of torture is the instrument of our salvation. In this cross, in this hard wood, in that instrument that was the source of a terrible end for so many, we see love. We see this because we know that Christ himself went to this point to show love for a world, to show salvation for me and you, and for everybody. And looking into the depths of the cross and gazing upon and stopping and pausing on this Good Friday, we are invited to see this reality. We are invited to see that though it may make us uncomfortable, though it may be violent and overwhelming, we also have the chance to see God's love for the world poured out. Yet it is not an uncommon human experience, it seems to me, to experience those feelings of God not being present. Frequently, it is the moments and situations of our lives that bring us to this place, whether moments in the world, or perhaps for some, the loss of a loved one, or lack of direction, or many other experiences. When has God seemed silent in your life? When has God seemed only too far away? Know that in all times, even and especially in these, there is still hope. There is still mercy. There is still love. This is the day, this is the moment that teaches us and reminds us of this truth. It is not gone, even as we say on this day that Christ is. We know this because ultimately we are not people who proclaim Good Friday as the end of the story. We know and have experienced the end of the story, the one where Christ's death is not the last word. The psalmist who wrote this psalm, the words that I began with, knows this reality too. Even in the midst of crying out, even in the midst of feeling abandoned and as if God was silent, the psalmist says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you our ancestors trusted. They trusted and you delivered them." May we, even as we consider and gaze upon the hard wood of the cross this night, trust in God to not be silent and to draw close. For on this day, God has shown us above all that God loves us, and that God will be with us in all times and in all moments of life. Let us be reminded of this tonight, and as our lives move forward, as our lives move up and down, let us always seek to cry out like the psalmist, "You, God, are holy."